Okay, Mishnah Beis. So I'm going to first read the Mishnah Beis, and you're going to feel good about it, hopefully. It's very straightforward. It's simply a question of, when you're doing Kiddush on Friday night, what order did you do the hand washing and the mezigas hakos? They used to have to dilute their wine, so you have to pour the wine and maybe pour water inside to mix it up. And then hamotzi, what's the order of things? So it sounds very straightforward. Yeshame omrim, not only yadayim, first you wash your hands. Va'achar kach, mozina sakos, and then after that you'll pour your cup of, you'll do alantil sidayim, then you'll pour your cup of wine, you'll say bray pray guffin, and then you'll wash up, do hamotzi. Without a hafsek. You go wash your hands, then you come back.
Kiddush.
You pour your cup, you make kiddush and hamotzi without
directly.
A break directly. First you pour your cup, put the water in, you make kiddush, and then achar kach not only yadayim, then you go wash your hands, and then you say hamotzi.
As we do.
This is, in truth, to explain why, is probably the most difficult, like the most convoluted Mishnah in the Masechta. The reason of the Machlokas has to do with Tumah and Tahara. Okay? So, step one, what's Tumah and Tahara? So, it's a halachic status that has, I guess, halachic implications. If something is a source of Tumah, like a sheretz, like a dead, you know, reptile, or rodent, or a person could be a zav, or a zava, or a matzora, or a yoledes, or a nida, right? Or it's someone who touched a dead body, and other things like that, right? So there's sources of tuma, so they're called an av a tuma, meaning the source of tuma. Okay? And an av, parent of tuma, can convey tuma onto other things, okay? Those other things are like what's called recipients of the source, will be called toldos, like a child. Okay. So what happens is, if an av, your classic case of an av is just a dead sheretz, there are eight specific animals enumerated in the Torah, that they're actually called sheratzim, and they have the least, the baseline of tumah conveyance. You have to touch them to come tummy. Other tumas have a much, other source of tumah can be much more potent for different reasons. Let's for argument's sake, say that a dead rat is a dead sheretz. So a dead rat is an av a tumah, it's a source of tumah. If it touches something, whether, and there are two kinds of some things that we worry about here, there's kalim, vessels, right, utensils, and there's food, open and mashing. So if a dead rat touches a cup, or touches your, your matzo ball soup, whatever it is, so then it will be metama it, convey tumah to it, and that cup, but that matzo ball soup will be called a rishon, a first degree recipient of tumah. Okay? Fine. Now, kalim, utensils, can only get that far. They don't get beyond that. So if you take your cup that's tame, that's a rishon, and you go and touch it to another cup, nothing's going to happen. The second cup remains tahor. Okay? If you take that top that's a rishon and you touch it to matzo ball soup, the matzo ball soup will just become a sheni. Kalim only goes down to rishon and the food can go to a sheni. Okay, now that's as far as chulin go. Regular food only can go to the point of sheni. So if you have your sheni apple, whatever it is, right, and your sheni apple touches now a banana that's ready to receive tumah, whatever it is, it won't matter, it won't become tummy. Okay? A kli doesn't get past rishon, but food can go. Regular food can go to be a sheni. The rat was the daddy, the av. Then all the chain down from the rat are the toldos. First step would be the cup, that would be the rishon. Then the banana would be the sheni. Okay, that's the end of the story. Unless you're dealing with certain things that have special additional requirements for tahara, that's the opposite of tumah, such as truma. We discussed this in the very first Mishnah, if you remember briefly, the first Mishnah of Masechta. Things that are truma, that we discussed yesterday, what truma is. So truma has to stay tahor, and it can receive tuma even to become a shlishi, meaning if that banana that was a sheni goes and touches the Kohen's truma wine, assuming all the conditions are met, the wine would still become tame and forbidden, even as a shlishi. Okay? That's so simple. Now, Chazal went and said that liquids, mashkin, a technical term, really a term of art called mashkin, call them liquids for a second, certain seven liquids, since there are other liquids floating around, like certain bodily excretions from people who are especially strong source of tumah, can happen, people can spit and whatever, okay? So they said any liquid that receives tuma that could ruin truma, as a shame, if a shame touches a liquid, a specific liquid, that instead of the liquid becoming what you think maybe be a shlishi, it gets promoted with the rabbanon to being a rishon all over again. So if you have something that's already even a shani, and it touches a liquid, so really the liquid should become at worst a shlishi, if it's truma or nothing. But the rabbi said, since there are other liquids floating around that are very problematic, we're afraid of liquids, mysterious liquids floating around, and therefore any liquid that gets contaminated by a source of tuma, even a shani, the liquid gets promoted not to being even a shlishi, but to being a rishon all over again. Just midrabanan. There actually there's technically seven mashkin, seven different applicable liquids. The siman to remember, if you want to know, is yad, which means hand, shachat, which means chef, like a slaughter, and dam, which means blood. Okay, so what's the putting in that? So what? That's yad shachat dam. That's the mnemonic. So the yud stands for yain, which is wine. Right? Okay, we'll do Dvash here first. Dvash, this is bee's honey. The shin is shemen, oil. The chet is chalav, milk. The tet is tal, which is dew. The dalet is dam, exactly, which is blood.
What kind of shemen? Any shemen?
Any shemen. And the mem is mime, water. Okay, so those are the seven mashkin. It's worth remembering that's why it's critical here. Although we're worried about here is basically wine and water for our particular Mishnah. Okay, so those things, those seven mashkin liquids, if they receive, they come in contact with the source of tuma, they're promoted to being a rishon all over again, right? Which makes things get very complex and makes all liquids like a nightmare in terms of tuma tahara. It's like a source again. They're just, and that nightmare is gonna rear its ugly head in our Mishnah here. Okay. Okay, third of all, you gotta know that the rabbi said, listen, your hands, they're filthy. You don't watch where they're going. They're inevitably gonna become dirty again. And it's not nice to eat truma with dirty hands. That's not nice. It's disgusting. Right? In those days, things people without running water, hands were much more icky, and everything was much more icky than today. Now we live in a super pristine society. They're very, very concerned about hands being filthy. So the rabbi has made another gezerah. Now we're talking about another second gezerah here, which is that stam yadayim, hands that have not been washed, they're automatically considered a sheni b'tuma. They've got a secondary tuma status, which wouldn't affect you if you're dealing with ochel and regular food, chulin. Chulin, it's called, chulin means not sanctified food. But if you're a kohen, it's a nightmare because you need to worry about truma, and a sheni can ruin a shlishi. A sheni can ruin truma. Dirty hands will durabanin. Durabanan, they said, since hands are dirty and generally unwashed and unwatched, so we'll make them into a shame. These people will be afraid and always wash their hands before they touch their truma.
Talking about
Mitzvah Nine. Sudan, that's right.
People mean Kohanim.
The Kohanim, that's right. I guess Kohanim are more sensitive to tuma itself, like that, you know, they're mindful of more. But more importantly, the whole thing's Durabanan made up. The truth is, there's no such thing as like part of you being Tameh Midoraita. Either you are or you aren't. You never are a shame. Either you're an Av or a Rishon, that's it. All or nothing, not just your hands. But they made your hands a special problem. Is they're afraid of them. Okay. Yeah, so sorry, taking a step back there. And that's why, of course, why we, the rabbis extended that people, everybody should wash their hands before they eat bread, like a connection back to this idea. Only bread and other things that you dip into these. Okay, so now, that's why everyone's washing their hands before they eat bread in our Mishnah also, right? Because of a connection to, if you were a Kohen, you would have had Truma, so we want everyone washing their hands before they eat. Because they're like a drag on to that idea. Okay? Putting two and two together now, if your hands aren't mindful of them, the technical term is called Hesiach Das. If you like just, you aren't paying attention, you aren't washing your hands, you forget about them. Hesiach Das, you forget to keep your hands clean. So they automatically revert back to being Shniyim, secondary source of Tuma. And if you remember, that water comes into a Shani's contact, gets promoted to being a Rishon, which is already a strong potent, relatively potent source of Tuma, enough to ruin food. Okay? Now, if you're mixing cups of wine, and you haven't washed your hands, you see the potential problem coming in. Water splashes around. So that's the moving part here. We'll get to in a second. But then they make that connection. Your hands are potentially sheni, and you're dealing with liquids, which are yin. So like now you can start conveying tumah all around again. Right? And now, here's the last of the rabbinic ordinances. This one takes the cake. They said if you have a liquid that's become a rishon, even again, a sheni touched the liquid, now the liquid became a rishon all over again, that rishon touches a cup. Now remember, I told you cups can't become shneim, they only stop rishon. Yeah, but the rabbi said the outside of the cup should become tame also. The outside of the cup. They made it just the outside, so you should see it's just the derabonim. If you remember all that, I don't know if you can remember all that, so then that is what you need to know, the background to know this. There's a machlokas between the Sham and Beis Hillel. This is the real machlokas that's underlying this Mishnah here, which is whether or not you're allowed to use a tamei cup. The issue here, you can write it in the Mishnah, the question, the starting point is, can you or can't you use a tamei cup? Okay? The Sham may say no, you can't, because you know why? Because water often spills out of a cup, like the overflowing Kiddush cup, and then now it's just an accident waiting to happen. And Beis Hillel say, give me a break, how often do you spill water outside of your cup already? And therefore, you're allowed to use a tummy cup. I mean, again, if your cup is tummy and water spilled, then you have to be mindful of the fact that you can convey tumah all over again, they can ruin your hands. But the point is, you don't spill that often. So that is the jumping point now. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai arguing whether or not you can or can't use a tummy cup. Beis Shammai says, you only use tahor cups. And Beis Hillel says, even a tummy cup is okay to use. Yes. Now, we'll read the Mishnah again. Beshame Omrim, they say, listen, notably Yadayim, first, you better wash your hands. Okay? They say, Beshame Omrim, notably Yadayim, first you better wash your hands, or first you can wash your hands, then they'll be tahor, right? And now, your cup will be tahor, because that's the rule, you have to have a tahor cup. So, Ba'achar kaf mozginas hakos, then mix your cup of wine. Because if wine spills over, what's the big deal? Your hands are clean, the cup is clean. So again, so they say, notably Yadayim, first wash your hands, so your hands will be tahor, your cup has to be by Beis Shammai's law tahor. Ba'achar kaf mozginas hakos, so if you mix your cup of water, a cup of wine, there's no tumah floating around, no problem. Your hands will still be clean, and then you can go straight into doing a moti, because your hands are definitely tahor, and you're fulfilling the obligation to do a moti with tahor hands. Okay? Easy. Okay. Now, Beis Hillel, who say, remember, they say your cup could be tame. That was offered a point here. Since your cup could be tame, when you wash your hands, what could happen? Your hands might still have, they might be a little damp, as you might have noticed. That's why some people you see are like very medoctic, get their hands like bone dry afterwards. This is the issue floating around here. Because if your hands are a little bit wet, so then you go and mix your cup. You've touched your cup is a sheni, right? It touches the water on your hands, the water in your hands becomes a rishon, they touch your hands again, your hands become a sheni all over again, the whole thing, you got nowhere. You didn't get anywhere. So they, since they're letting you use a tamei cup, they say, listen, you better first drink your wine and your cup, and then if your hands become tamei, so what? Right? First, Beis Hillel Omer Mozgin HaSakos, do the cup of wine and so on, V'ach kach not nidan, then you wash your hands, of tahor hands, and you'll eat with tahor hands. And if there's water, then you'll be mindful of it. What's the most likely things to be afraid of? Beis Hillel is saying, what hands is a certainty after you wash them. So that's a real fear. If your cup spills, then you have to watch out for a spilled cup.